You're listening to Advocacy for All. Today's interview is with Nikki. Her son Ryan has both autism and ADHD. And Nikki spoke to Erica and I about the value of advocacy and how it has helped both her and Ryan. If you'd like more information about Advocacy for All, please go to our website at www.advocacyforall.org.uk.
I think it's been great for Ryan. We were at a really low stage with Ryan. He was at a really bad point in his sort of teenage years. He'd got into a lot of trouble in school. He was really struggling with friendships at school and the work at school, and having detention like every day. Self-esteem was really going down, and we got to the point where he then started to write notes and drew little pictures of himself and how he was feeling, and that was at the point, you know, really low point for us. And I can't actually remember how I got recommended to you, but it might have been through Compass or something like that.
It would have been Sam Commonbell.
That's it. And, you know, we were sort of literally at the end of our tether. You just don't know where to go and what to do. And I think I contacted the Compass ADHD people, and they said, why don't you give advocacy or I think I dropped an email, I can't remember, I filled in a form, I maybe made a call. But it was almost immediate that I got a response. And if you think of how long it takes to get anything, it took us 21 months on the NHS to get Ryan diagnosed with ADHD. We eventually went private because we couldn't wait any longer. Right. It took us probably another 2 years on top of that to get him diagnosed with ASD. And here I was contacting someone. And I didn't really know what I was contacting. I didn't have any expectations. And, you know, literally within a week, I reckon, Erica had come back to me, and we'd got an appointment, and she came round to see Ryan and I. And Ryan agreed that he would, he would like some help. I think, he hadn't changed school. I think he might have, by the time you came round, because we literally...
It was about 2 days when I came that week. Yeah. He'd been in 2 days.
I think we got to the really low point, we literally we thought we need to remove him from school now, because it just got so we had. And within 2 days, we'd got him into a new school, and it was probably right at the beginning that Erica, came on board. And I don't know how many times you've actually seen Ryan. You can probably.
Well, we started last November.
I
must have seen,
because he said like 4 months, and I probably would have said the same, but knowing that it was November that he moved school, it couldn't possibly be.
I've seen him at least once a month, but obviously not over the summer, so I've seen him a good 7-8 times, I'd say. And school have always been very accommodating.
Accommodating.
So you was rightly in a crisis when you made the phone call.
Absolutely.
You got a response straight away. You meet Erica with Ryan. What was your first impressions of Erica?
Somebody that was going to be there, that was independent, and that didn't have any kind of agenda other than trying to want to help him and help us out of the situation that we have. I think the difficulty when you're stuck in a system which, you know, is sort of very much like NHS based, you're trying to go through so many different areas, and we've been through speech and language, we've been through this, we've done and all you're doing every time is filling in loads of bits of paper with all exactly the same information that no one ever talks to each other. And we didn't come, or Erica didn't come with a whole, could you fill in this 20-page report sort of thing or questionnaire before we start. We just went straight in, and it was like, I'm here to help. At that point, Ryan had a really low self-esteem, really low. I think, he's struggling a bit again at the moment and having a lot more trouble in school, but... he's had someone, and I think he's probably been very open with you, and there's somebody that's kind of been on his side.
And that's the whole point. I'm not there to judge him. I'm not there to tell him what to do. Just to kind of listen and maybe look at choices and, you know, really trying to build his self-esteem up. And, you know, because he is Ryan, but he's got ADHD. You can't get away from that.
Nope.
You know, and some of the things he does is because of, the, you know, some of the things that he just does on the spur of the moment, it's because of his ADHD. It's not because he deliberately chooses to do that. And I think it's probably a little bit misunderstood.
Definitely. And I think that's very struggling. I think that's hard for him. With his AD, with the ASD side, he's rude. You know, he doesn't think what he says. He doesn't care who he says it to. He's very rude to us. He's very rude to his grandmother. He has no respect for anybody, and so therefore he's very rude to the teachers. Somebody says something and he bites and he will, and he unfortunately can't control what he says. So that's where he's getting into trouble a lot. And then the more in trouble he gets, the more he says, and it's a bit of a spiral downwards.
Mm. He seems to have a few teachers on his side.
He does.
It's not all. There's a lot of.
There are a lot of people that are trying to look out for him.
Yeah.
But I think
he's really personable and he's got a great personality.
Unfortunately, you have to conform. He rubs a lot of people up the wrong way, and he says things that he shouldn't do. And so therefore,
I think the key is, and obviously, you know, I mean, is he
14?
He's nearly 15.
Well, he's 14, mid-June. Yeah.
But, you know, it's just like he has got so little control over a lot of things.
Mm.
But he's in that system that, you know, he shouldn't be put at a disadvantage because of his disabilities.
Yeah.
But it's not written, that, you know, it is.
And he can't control what he says. And we keep trying to impress on him as well, you know, the way that you speak to teachers will determine whether they do or don't really want to help you. And eventually, if you keep being rude to people and things like that, and you're messing up in their lessons, they actually just think, really can't be bothered to help you.
Mm.
Whereas, and to a certain extent, it happens at home as well. You know, we're trying to help him, we're trying to do stuff, trying to get him to do some work, not interested at all. And eventually, because, you know, tempers fray and whatever, you've been at work all day, you're trying to help, and then somebody's just throwing it back in your face. It happens. But, you know, Erica would see a completely different side of him, because she doesn't have the part where she's trying to get him to do something that he doesn't want to do,
and
he can just open up. And, you know, and he doesn't ever want, no kids, no teenagers want to listen to their parents. They don't always want to listen and talk to teachers, but he's got somebody there that he can confide in and talk to.
I think sometimes I think we have to acknowledge as well that for somebody of his age, opening up is actually quite a difficult thing to do. As well. I'm quite curious about, from the November when Erica started, how Ryan changed, or how Ryan shifted during the process of him working with Erica. What did you notice? What did you recognise as seeing this was working?
I don't know if he's particularly opened up that much to us. He's got further into his teenage status where they're kind of, you know, taking themselves off and being in their room. We did have a really nice holiday, because his brother went to Africa and did some volunteering in the summer, so he was away for 4 weeks. So when we went on our summer holiday, it was really unusual. It was just the three of us. Obviously, we've never had that before, and it was a nice time where all of our attention and whatever was devoted to Ryan.
Mm.
And I think, you know, from Ryan's point of view as well, it's difficult.
Different kind of pressure and expectations on holiday and in the summer, isn't it, as well?
Yeah, and
those moments.
He, I think, suffers as well from the point of view that, you know, his brother's doing very well, he's very good at school, he's very good at sport, everything he's doing is going well, and everything for Ryan is the opposite of going well. So it puts more of an imbalance in his self-esteem and what he thinks he's worth.
Mm.
But I think, you know, certainly Erica's helped him in terms of...
He's still in there. He's still there. We looked at all the positives today during our session. So, but then as you know, Nikki, I've got a 15-year-old myself.
Yeah.
And I have all of that.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, he's on the, he didn't quite get the diagnosis, but he wasn't far short of it. So you've got such big, it's like a, so many layers.
It's such a big time, plus the other problems and issues that you have, that it just compounds into...
Particularly when you've got professionals who should probably know the issues surrounding ADHD and ASC, and not really factoring that in. Have you found that as an experience for you?
Right, in the school or whatever?
Yeah, right across the profession, whether it's medical profession, teaching.
To be honest, we haven't really seen anyone in the medical profession in the last year or whatever. The reviews for ADHD come very few and far between because they're so under-resourced. You don't even get, you don't actually get a review really now. You don't actually see a doctor. You maybe see a nurse that talks through stuff. But I think from a school's point of view, you know, I have a lot of calls from school that say, you know, Ryan's very disruptive and chatty and whatever in my lesson. Could you try and get him to, you know, could you try and get him to not be disruptive? Well, yeah, I can say till I'm blue in the face and it's not going to make a blind bit of difference. He has ADHD, he has the problems, he will be rude, and so there's so, you know, what can I do? I can't sit with him in the lesson and say, Ryan, don't do that, Ryan, don't do that, Ryan, sit still, don't do that. That's what he's going to do. So I think that's the frustration when you're getting those kind of calls all the time.
Yes, they should have been gone a long time ago now because there's...
But it still happens, you know.
That's really frustrating for you.
What's your journey been like?
Not good. You know, it's not easy to have a child that is rude to you all the time and you know, it almost effectively doesn't want you to kind of love him is the way, probably the worst thing to say, but it's hard. You know, he does everything to make you not want to do anything for him, because when you're trying to do something and he's just throwing it back in your face and you're trying to help and you're trying to encourage him and he just shut up, go away, and everything is slapped back in your face. So it's hard. It is really hard. I mean, I can't tell you the amount of times that I've been in tears in the last, I don't know, couple of years. I mean, just a ridiculous number of times, and you just, you know, it causes you sleepless nights, and you wake up and you just constantly worry. What's going to happen with him, you know, and obviously you get the phone call when it comes up, school.
Yeah.
There was somebody put something on one of the, I think it was the Bexley Voice Facebook page or something like that, and it was something about, you know, school calling, and it's like,
yeah.
But it's, you know, it's never good news, is it? So occasionally, a fair play, a couple of times, teachers have phoned up and said, well done, but it's few and far between. So the journey's tough. I mean, it is tough. But it's nice to think that there's somebody else fighting your corner. I think that's the difference that Erica has made. It's not just all on you. There's somebody, because you've gone from pillar to post, from various different... departments within the healthcare profession, and you kind of, you know, you get a diagnosis. Oh, well done, yeah, off you go. There's another diagnosis,
but you don't. Son, but you don't get Ryan,
any help. Isn't it? You don't get any help, and you don't actually know what to do.
Many thanks to Nikki and Ryan for sharing their story, and an extra thank you to BBC Children in Need for funding this project. This podcast was produced by Advocacy for All.